Hi, everybody. I want to welcome you back to the Radiate Confidence Summit. My name is Nathalia Chin, where we teach you how to attract the relationships you desire and love yourself fearlessly no matter what. So today's guest is Anaya Sophia, and she is an author, independent mystic of an almost forgotten faith, catalyst of initiation, and a teacher of Kundalini Yoga. She also carries an oral transmission from the sacred feminine mysteries, which she weaves into all her work. Welcome, Anaya. How are you today?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Really happy to be here.
I'm so happy for you to be here, too. I'm so ready to ask you some really great questions. So if you wouldn't mind telling the audience just a little bit more about your work, and just in every space, if you can let them know.
Well, I guess it's in three parts. The first part I came out sharing was womb wisdom. So the mysteries of the womb, how to heal and open and balance and expand the womb space way beyond menstrual cycles and pregnancy and babies. And then that led more into sacred sexuality and the healing of the yoni and, you know, all the magnificent things that yonis can do. And now what's really exciting me is the voice and the power of the word and speaking truth to power. So those three areas, really.
Now, I'm really excited to hear a little bit more about healing the yoni. So for people who don't know what a yoni is, would you mind just explaining to them a little bit?
Totally. A yoni, that's a Sanskrit word for vagina.
Really great. So for all of you who don't know, your yoni is your vagina. And with the healing work that you do, how does that really affect women and just their confidence in the way they show up in the world?
Well, my goodness, we can go right back to basics. I mean, both genders have a lot of guilt and shame woven into their cells of their reproductive system. So that's the first base layer that really is across the genders. Now, on top of that, women, because they have like a magnetic quality, a receptive quality, they will also be containing all the sexual partners they've ever had, again, in their reproductive health. This is just something that naturally happens to womankind. She keeps a little energetic snapshot and essence of all of her intimate partners. Now, of course, that's going to build up over time and probably start to cause all kinds of like energetic and emotional imbalances. And, you know, she's just not feeling herself. And of course, if some of those partners carry great trauma, which they will, because that's where we're at right now as a species, then this is just going to sit in the yoni and womb, coupled with the guilt and shame. And of course, then we start to hear all sorts of things like fibroids and abnormal cervix behavior and it's hard to get pregnant and all of that.
Wow, that's so interesting. And I would not even think that that would affect each other, like that they went hand in hand. So that is so incredible to learn. Now, I know you mentioned with the male species, because the woman kind of holds an energetic snapshot. Yes. When, let's say, a male isn't healthy, is it like more of a physical health or is it emotional? Or what does that look like that we store into our reproductive system?
Well, the way I understand it, the womb is like a camera. So when the lingam, that's the Sanskrit word for penis,
lingam. Okay.
When the lingam comes into the yoni and there is an ejaculation. Now that seminal fluid will carry the frequency, the quality, the state of that man's being in that precise moment of ejaculation. So let's look at our younger days. So if that man is drunk, if he's aggressive, if it's some kind of like manipulative act, you know, all the nasties we get into during relationship. So if it carries any of that, that semen obviously gets projected onto the walls of the womb, and then the womb just soaks it all in like a great big sponge. But unfortunately, it is containing all of those possible states that the man is in. The next thing we have to look at is also the energetic vibration, if you like, of the environment that the sexual act is taking place in. Are you in someone else's bed? Are you in a nightclub? Are you in the back of the cab? You see what I mean? A woman opens way beyond what we haven't even been taught. I was going to say way beyond what we've been taught, but we haven't even been taught this stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. So it's like if you can imagine being in a little mini black hole for an hour or so, that is what happens.
That is so interesting. I mean, now I'm wondering I know you were mentioning that when the penis is inside of the yoni, that energetic frequency can affect the walling or the lining of that reproductive system. But what are the long-term effects for a woman who is trying to attract in a healthy relationship? Does it affect it in a negative way? Or are you able to kind of work past that limitation and still attract in something healthy for your relationship-wise?
I would say if you're doing your work because you want to attract, you know, a beloved or someone who's going to join you in sacred union, then it would be very wise to absolutely heal and clean the yoni and the womb of all traces of previous lovers. If this work hasn't been done, then energetically that stuff is going to be there. It's not a great big piece of work. It's not going to take forever to do. You just need to, you know, use your consciousness, go back and absolutely release consciously each man or woman who you've interacted with. Now, there are other ways that we can do that. And my favorite way of doing that is working with yoni eggs. But maybe you want to broach it.
No, I'm curious about yoni eggs. I mean, because I know, for instance, like with my friend, we were discussing yoni eggs, but I know that there's different levels of yoni eggs. So would you mind sharing with the audience, for somebody who might be starting their own journey and work of clearing that path, what would be the appropriate yoni egg to start with?
Okay, so yoni eggs really is my favorite way of doing this type of healing, you know, healing the past lovers out of the system. So yoni egg literally is a crystal smoothed and shaped into a rather generous egg shape. And you would put the fat end of the egg inside the yoni up high like you would a tampon. And it stays there for maybe even a couple of days. It will come out on its own accord naturally. And that is the sign that the work in this moment has been done. So with all crystals, you'd cleanse it and you'd program it. And you'd ask that crystal to remove, for instance, all debris of past lovers. Or maybe there's a particular man, you know, in particularly that you really want to work on because you know you're still carrying something for him. The attraction is still there. You want him back. Maybe you're sexually drawn to him. He's a bit of an a-hole, but you know, the desire stakes are high. And so in would go the egg. And of course, like crystals in our neck pieces and all the other reasons why we work with crystals, that crystal would start to draw in that energy that may be inside of you. And when the crystal finally comes out, you put the crystal in salt water or bury it for a few days, and then that energy has been transformed, transmuted, and placed back within the earth.
Oh, so you don't have to repeat this like over and over again. It's one and done?
It depends. If it's like a really big job, you know, someone's been with you a long time, you've really intertangled and entwined together, you may have to do it a few times. But you see, the beauty of this is you get to have your own womb back again. And your womb is full of wisdom and intuition. So at the beginning, your head might be saying, oh, I don't know, maybe I am, maybe I'm not carrying energy from this person. The more you clear and heal, you will know for sure, I am not carrying energy from so-and-so anymore.
That is so incredible.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I know that there's different types of crystals. I know that there's like, I think pink rose gold or quartz, yeah. And then there's like black obsidian. So what do these different type of crystals mean, and what would be the appropriate one to use for somebody just starting out?
Okay, well, I work with three. So if you can imagine this, beloved ones listening, the first one is a very pale pink. Second one is a red, deep red. And the third one would be black. So if you just hold that in your mind right now, pale pink, deep red, and jet black. The first one is a rose quartz. And this is a very gentle, a very delicate, it's a very heartfelt, sort of like angelic crystal going into the yoni for the first time, which can often be a bit shocking and a bit scary because, you know, it's not usual to put a crystal egg inside of you and leave it for 3 days. And so it knows that. And so the intrusion, if you like, is very gentle and very sweet and very pure. And the first thing it does is just start to heal any guilt and shame and awkwardness and regret and like judgment and all of those yuckies that might be there on that first going in session, if you like. So it kind of heals that that gap that the woman might have between her gorgeous heart and her sexual area.
Very nice.
So that's beautiful. That's just beautiful work. Now, stage two would be like the red crystals, like red jasper or red carnelian. And this is kind of like bringing in some Shakti now. You know, you're bringing in the Magdalene. You're bringing in that kind of erotic desire. The guilt and shame has gone down quite a bit. So now there's this permission to ooze and like really come out there and say, hey, world, I'm back. So yeah. That's a beautiful one. That is like an activating. So the rose quartz is definitely purifying and healing. The red crystals activating, you know, you're on. You walk into the room, you're here. Everyone can sense your presence. And then, of course, stage three, this is for a woman who just simply knows that womb work is her path, and she's very serious and very dedicated, and she wants to know how deep this rabbit hole goes. She truly wants to heal, not just on her behalf, but for her whole ancestral line. So in would come stage three, which is the black obsidian. So now we're going through our own personal history and straight out and into the collective. So this is going to be big work. This is going to be witch hunt. This is going to be rapes and trespasses. This is going to be torture and all kinds of feminine shaming. So this is the big work, and this is for the what I call the big mamas, the yeah. ones who are mature enough, steady enough, and able enough to take on this kind of journey. Wow, so please do not buy black obsidian first.
I know, and I think we were talking in a previous conversation where you were mentioning do not go to the black obsidian. Do not go to the dark side first. Start with the pale pink rose quartz, right? And then work yourself up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, okay, so let's just imagine I'm with a partner. I haven't done this, I haven't done this work. Can they feel, like, do they kind of get some of that energy from past lovers that might be within that lining of my reproductive system? Does that affect them?
Yes, absolutely. They will have a sense that there's someone else around, that you're not fully with them. Like there's a ghost, you know, a phantom of an ex-lover just around. And he will feel that you are unable to give yourself to him completely. And all of this is unspoken and undiscussed because you just can't quite put your finger on it. But he will definitely feel someone else is around, that he can't quite fully enter you and you can't fully open up to him. And there will just be like this general insecurity, just like hovering all of the time.
Now this work, I mean, that has me wanting to go get a yoni egg like today. But does this work go hand in hand with, would you say, like internal work of really kind of getting into the place of loving yourself? Or is this work a standalone where you can do this alone and really see big changes immediately?
Oh yeah, this is a standalone. And this is not me, you know, making all of this up. This is really coming from Africa. You know, womb traditions, womb culture. This is kind of like indigenous and very much practiced in Africa, many of the African countries.
That is so intriguing. Like, I just love it. I love it. I love it. So now for women who might be, because I know there's some women who don't use tampons. There's a fear of it. They feel like maybe it might stretch them out, or, you know, there's different things.
Yes.
What about with the yoni egg? Like, is that to fear, or does that kind of wall, like that lining kind of snap back? Does it affect anything at all, like loosening or anything like that?
No, not at all. But what's interesting, there's a couple of sizes of yoni egg. Now, obviously, us ladies, we all want to be tight and stay tight and all of that stuff. Now, I'm an older woman. I'm 48. But I, too, obviously still feel that way. Now, my first yoni egg, I kind of went, oh, I'll just take a small one, please.
Get one to go.
The thing is, with the small ones, you know, if you have a damn good laugh or sneeze or cough, it comes out. It comes out when you're in public.
Yeah.
then the next one I got was much larger. And of course, this fitted in really snugly. And no matter what I did, there was no way that this was going to come out whilst I was out on the streets. So you may think you want a small one, but just be careful. Move around, especially with, you know, abdominal movement.
And I know you mentioned that you wanted to come out naturally, and then that's when the work has been completed, right? So
yes. Now you can lead with a yoni egg in, and you can even make love gently and cautiously with a yoni egg in.
Oh my gosh! So you can make love with the yoni egg. Now, does your partner feel it in there, or?
Yes, hello, yes.
Oh.
But what happens, when he first comes in, he feels, which is also very exciting and very pleasurable, but what happens is the egg kind of just like snicks over to one side and sort of snuggles into the wall of the yoni and sort of just gets out the way a little bit. So, there's no way if you're wearing a yoni egg and the man just like thrusts in deep and hard on the first entrance.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea. So the two of you must be conscious and just very gently, gently move around until the egg decides where it's going to go and just hang out in that area for a bit. And my mystical side says that is not a random place that it has snugged into. My mystical side says it has gone to that particular part of the neck of the yoni to actually do some intergender healing.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I can't help feeling that there's a
reason for it, huh?
Yeah, because it always goes to a different place.
Oh, wow. So there's different points within your reproductive system, your yoni, that need to have healed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is so incredible. Oh, my gosh. Learning so much.
The yoni, I understand the yoni as a hall of records.
That sounds like a good thing, but then a bad thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, I definitely appreciate all of this. Now, for the audience, what would you say is the one thing that they can implement immediately further yoni health, to start recreating positivity and to stepping into that fearless, confident woman that they truly are.
Okay, well, the best piece of wisdom I can give them right now is the next time you are invited into a sexual liaison with somebody, remember what I said. Your beautiful body is going to absorb and keep the quality of the one you have chosen to have this liaison with. So check and check again. If he's drunk, if he's a bit aggressive, if, you know, you guys aren't connected at the heart, or if it's just a quickie before work, just maybe, you know, with your beautiful, gracious, feminine nature, just kind of skirmish around that invitation and invite a wider, brighter, more beautiful invitation maybe a little bit later on, because you're going to keep what comes your way. So it's not to say no to the men, but it's to say maybe later, you know, different environment, different frequency.
Mm-hmm. The energy has to be aligned.
Yeah. And it's never going to be perfect. But at least just sidestep the worst of the worst.
Now, for that instance, let's say that maybe you guys are both drunk, right? Maybe you just had a night out, you guys are having fun.
Yeah.
You've done the yoni egg before. Would that be an appropriate time to then go ahead and use the yoni again for that that experience?
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, this is very sacred work. So I would say, look at all the activity. You know, if you're getting drunk, choosing a partner for a one-night stand, and then using a yoni egg, hoping and expecting that that'll just delete last night's activity, it will, but at a certain point, you're going to have to look at all of that behavior.
I'm so glad you said that. That is such a vital piece as well.
I don't mean to be someone's mom.
Yeah.
I'm so not someone's mom, but I had to realize that. We all have to realize that at a certain point along the feminine line, that all of this promiscuousness, and I was very promiscuous, stacks up in a very real and palpable way. It stacks up and it starts to interfere with your genuine health of your body and your mind, because this energy is psychic. Mm. You know, this is like someone's voice, someone's appearance, someone's behavioral traits and tendencies, all inside of you, you know, interfering with your true character and nature.
I love it. I'm getting a yoni egg. Thank you so much, Anaya. I really appreciated this interview. Now, I know you have a free gift that you're going to offer the audience. Would you mind letting them know a little bit about that, as well as any projects that you're working on this year?
Absolutely. The free gift is called Sacred Gateways. So that's where me and you go on this kind of sacred journey together, a visual journey where we actually, well, I'm not there, but I'm just like the guiding voice.
Yeah.
Will be like a little minuscule version of yourself, and you're gonna go through your 9 sacred gateways, starting off at the labia, starting off at the lips of the yoni, going into and through the clitoris, to the G-spot, to the cervix, to the ovaries, fallopian tubes, and deep, deep womb space, 3 extra gates inside of the womb. And you will see this rather than just dropping. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, how do I drop my consciousness into my womb? Is it just a case of moving from the third eye down to the heart and then down into the womb? I said, no, that's way too easy. You got to go in through those legs and reclaim every step and every secret place of that yoni. Then you can come as a true queen and sit on the throne of the womb. But until you've reclaimed the beauty, the sacredness, and the love of the yoni, you're never going to inhabit the womb, because that is our first piece of work. Loving that beautiful yoni.
Love the yoni. I love it. I love it. Now, any projects that you're also working on this year?
I'm currently writing Fierce, Fierce Feminine. So my interest at the moment is now the voice and opening up the voice in the same way we've been discussing yonis and wombs. So if you can can you imagine a woman who has combined both of those areas? So like full yoni power, full womb power, gorgeous heart, and now this crystal clear, unafraid, and fabulously extended voice.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Anaya Sophia. It's been such a pleasure interviewing you. I have learned so much. I know the audience is going to take back so much and to love their yonis. Yes. So I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Bless you, sweetheart. Love you too.
Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and say bye to everybody. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening in today.
See you. Bye.
Bye.